Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Unimech Aerospace and Manufacturing Limited Q4 FY25 earnings call hosted by Anand Rathi Share and Stock Brokers Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Manish Valecha. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We welcome you all to the 4Q FY25 and FY25 results conference call of Unimech Aerospace and Manufacturing Limited. From the management team here today, we have Mr. Anil Puttenkumar, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Ramkrishna Kamhojla, the Whole-time Director and CFO, Mr. Rajnikant Balaraman, the Whole-time Director, Mr. Mani Puttam, Whole-time Director, and Mr. Preetham S.V., the Whole-time Director. We also have Mr. Akash Jaiswal, AGM Investor Relations. I now hand over the call to Mr. Anil for his opening remarks, post which we will take the questions from the participants. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Anil.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the fourth quarter of FY25 call. As we talk about our performance during the quarter, I would like to share a few insights on the industry and segment that we work in. Firstly, on the aerospace, India has become the third largest passenger market globally as per FY24 data, highlighting the increasing importance of tooling in the MRO industry in maintaining the efficiency and reliability of the aviation sector. Favorable government initiatives and increased global demand for MRO services are boosting the growth in the segment. As per NITI Aayog report, the Indian MRO market valued at approximately $1.7 billion in 2021 is expected to reach $4 billion by 2031, reflecting a strong CAGR of 8.9%, significantly outpacing the global average of 5.6%. Speaking on the precision segment, we are working on two aspects. One, eyeing on opportunity in the nuclear and energy segment, predominantly domestic, and two, onboarding overseas OEMs and Tier 1s in building a strong pipeline for increased manufacturing of precision components. Coming to nuclear updates, Unimech is aiming to capture a bigger opportunity with this segment, which also gives us a longer order visibility. With NPCIL planning expansion of 11 new reactors, Unimech is planning to participate in at least 15 subsystems, amounting to 400+ crores of opportunity in each of the reactors for Unimech. And also, eyeing an opportunity in a couple of subsystems from one of the domestic Tier 1s of NPCIL, coming to a few hundreds of crore opportunity in the coming quarters. Also, eyeing an opportunity of five EMCC reactor tenders, with each reactor budget is valued above 1,000 crore, and some of the tenders are open. Further, the second-generation reactors in BSR and SMR space, providing a strong opportunity on the revenue front. To sum it up, the Indian government has budgeted to launch 100 gigawatts of energy product reactors. Make in India initiative, along with FDI push, the recent FDI push will witness a rapid expansion in the segment in the future years. Coming on the capacity updates, Unimech believes in rapid expansion. Our sheer commitment to a growing pipeline of customers has resulted in adding four new customers in aero tooling and three customers in precision components during the fourth quarter of 2025. Now, our total customer count, including aero tooling and precision segments, has reached to 32 customers as of March 31st, 2025. During the first quarter of FY26, we have qualified two new customers in the precision segment, precision component segment. Additionally, we are working towards qualifying five new customers, of which two are OEMs and three are Tier 1s. Focus has always been in increasing qualification of high-complex toolings and precision components and subassemblies, which reflects our strong margins. Qualified SKUs as of March 25 is 4388 against 4041 of December 31st, 2024. And recently, we bagged an order on the new product line, new engine stands, the ground support equipment for engine transportation, one of the most running engine program in the world today. So we see an opportunity for a long-term order visibility or long-term agreements in the coming quarters. A lot of efforts started in third quarter, continued fourth quarter in FY25. We have hired 132 employees in the quarter. This increases our employee headcount to 793, up from 661. This looks like a significant addition, but is in line with the planned capacity and enhancement. We also increased our capacity to 213,000 square foot as on March 25, up from 180,000 square foot as on 31st December 24. We plan to add some more facilities as we expect more and more inflows, order inflows in the upcoming quarters, expecting to increase at least to 3 lakh square foot by adding another facility in the near vicinity in the Devanahalli area. We have added 48 machines during the quarter as on March 25, and we have machining capacity of 6.33 lakh hours, up from 4.22 lakh hours of December 31st, 24. We talk about the utilization and other details in the coming slides. Ram will detail, give you detail, a couple of more details of utilization points on this. Coming to the revenue updates and guidelines for FY26. Revenue growing during the quarter, revenue growth during the quarter has been very strong, achieving revenue of 68 crore, operating revenue of 68 crore, the highest ever in any quarter. This resulted in FY25 operating revenues to 243 crore, up by 16% year-on-year committed growth. Revenue has grown over 6 times in the last 4 years of operation. Before I hand it over to Ram for his additional details on the financials, I would like to emphasize that we can reasonably grow around 35 to 40% this year. There might be some slowness in the order pickup or sales in the first 1 or 2 quarters because of the tariffs, and you know, a lot of the inventory shipments would have been, would see some slowness in the first 2 quarters from our customers until there is a clarity on, you know, the U.S. tariffs by 9th July. But we are confident that we would hit what we have planned for. But as the tariff negotiation between the both countries crystallize, order pickup will be back to full swing. I would expect from probably mid of second quarter that would see the full swing. So thank you, gentlemen. I'll hand it over to Ram.
Thank you, Ani. Good morning, everyone. I'll now give you a complete overview of financial performance as well as the outlook for the next year. Coming to the revenue, our FY25 revenue growth was healthy and grown by 16% from last year. And even quarter four also witnessed strong revenue growth of 27% quarter on quarter. The quarter ended with a revenue of 68.4 crores and the year is ended with a total revenue of 243 crores. On the revenue contribution, if you look at, you know, from business segment wise, aero tooling is contributing 85% of total revenue, while balance coming from, you know, the other segment, which is precision segment. Our largest revenue comes from, you know, US geography as followed by, you know, the Europe. US is 80% and Europe is close to 16%. Coming to the profitability aspects, gross profit margin were at 69% for FY25. We maintained, you know, strict control over material cost. Subcontracting costs continue to trend, you know, lower due to addition of new facility expansion, and now more machines were added and we started using more machines. So subcontracting costs continue to be lower. EBITDA for FY25 was 92 crores, which has grown up by 16% from previous year. If you look at, you know, we maintain EBITDA margin strong at 38% like last year, you know, despite undertaking substantial investment in facilities and human capital in the current year. PAT for FY25 was 83 crores along with improved margin of 31% versus 27% in last year. Adjusted ROCE and ROE continue to stay strong at 33% and 25% respectively. Overall, you know, the profitability and margins for FY 2025 demonstrated, you know, a strong performance. Coming to assets and capacity utilization front, last year was a year of significant CapEx addition, as Anil mentioned, as we have added new machines and new and additional facilities. With a fleet of new 141 large machines, the plant capacity of Unimech has now increased from 2.2 lakh hours to 6.3 lakh hours, you know, which is almost three times, you know, capacity addition happened. The majority capacity happened in last two quarters, which is expected to be utilized to peak in coming two years' time. Due to significant machine additions last year, FY 2025, our capacity utilization, as I mentioned before, remained low, close to around 55%-58% kind of thing. However, we expect that optimal level of utilization to be attained, you know, in next 18-24 months. The fixed asset turnover ratio, if you look at now for FY 2025, was at 2.3 times. Despite the increase in significant capacity addition during the year, we maintained this ratio healthy. We expect that as the capacity utilization increases, this ratio can improve further. We expect that in aero tooling segment, it can easily be around 3.5 times, while fission component segment can be close to 3 times, you know, at the peak capacity utilization level. Now, I would like to give some future guidance, you know, related to revenue and profitability side for the next financial year, FY 2025-2026. As Anil mentioned, we aim to achieve revenue growth of 40% for the next year, FY 2025-2026. The primary segment, which is aero tooling segment, is expected to grow by 35% approximately. Just to give you some more information about the segment, this segment focuses on aero engine and airframe tooling in high mix, low volume categories, and always have a continuous order flow on daily and weekly basis, and these orders are expected to be executed in short duration. We are also working on newer commodity groups and continue to take bigger wallet share from existing customers. Additional capacity creation, you know, will always give opportunity for us to more work orders. While we do not have any LTA in this segment, but we can continue to guide the revenue growth in this segment on quarterly basis only. Coming to speaking about, you know, precision segment, which has at present small revenue base, it can grow by 75%-80% approximately in next year. We expect majority of revenue to start flowing from third quarter, as many clients are in the development stage and they're getting their first article order executed, which means, you know, the first half of the year will have lower orders and revenue. This segment will see LTA and order flow from second half of year, you know, onwards. At present, you know, this segment, as Anil mentioned, you know, focus is on onboarding new customer, completing FAPEs, and aiming for LTA. We are confident that this segment will shape up well, you know, by end of this year. On the nuclear side, we are aiming to participate in various tenders like EMCC and new projects, et cetera, and working towards getting accreditation for newer subsystems, which enable our growth trajectory in this segment. For your information, you know, as Anil mentioned, there is a lot of traction happening in this segment in India from policy and execution point of view, which will definitely create a bigger opportunity for us in the coming years. We are very confident of growing this segment with a large order book by year-end. So subject to tariff impact, with a healthy pipeline of customers and, you know, the strong continuous order book compared to previous year, we are reasonably confident to achieve this, the suggested revenue growth of, you know, about 30%-40% kind of thing in FY 2025-2026. Coming to gross margin, you know, forecast, our GP margin is expected to see slight compression due to, you know, the first articles or inflation, et cetera, and we expect to maintain GP around the 60%-62% range at the year-end for the next year. For your information, we haven't factored the impact of U.S. tariff on this gross margin level. However, there might be small impact, you know, once we get a clarity on tariff side. Coming to EBITDA guidance, the EBITDA margins to remain under pressure owing to, you know, the increased employees count and other operating expenditure. We have expanded our facility and increased employee during the last year, as you mentioned. All these initiatives will have a full cost impact in FY 2025-2026, affecting the margins to be lower than last year, we expect this EBITDA to be around 30% to 32% range. Profitability and return ratios will remain slightly impacted due to increased cost in FY 2025-26, as I mentioned above. And again, we would like to emphasize that this year focus is more on investment, capex, completion of infrastructure, onboarding new customers, completion of first article, etc. This year lays a strong foundation for future. Definitely, all these efforts made in this year will bear fruit in coming next 2 to 3 years. Finally, the focus of the founders team is to keep the costing rationalized, improve efficiencies, and maintain lean operating cost structure. We are investing heavy this year, but we'll always keep close eye on how external factors impact businesses, and suitable call will be taken to rationalize these investments and cost if required. That's it from my side, and thank you everyone. Now I'll hand over this to my other co-founder, Mr. Rajnikant, to update M&A.
Thanks, everyone. I wanted to share updates on two important topics. One, Daya Engineering and Technology. Unimech currently owns 16% of Daya, with a clear path to reach 30%. With the Indian defense push, there is strong strategic tailwinds, with India's Ministry of Defense launching the Jet Engine Banao initiative, offering incentives for indigenous propulsion engine. Daya squarely fits in this mandate. Recent milestones, the DET500 micro gas turbine achieved 20,000 RPM bench test. Combustion optimization is underway in partnership with IISc Bangalore. Certification dialogue has begun with Semilac, India's military airworthiness authority. A co-development MOU is being worked on with Czech turbine specialist for a 20 kg 200 Newton thrust engine, DET200, which is fully functional engines and on hand. Multiple platform OEMs like UAV, loitering munition, and light jet segments have signaled interest in joint ventures once airworthiness gates are cleared. These steps de-risk the technology and pull forward revenue visibility for Unimech as exclusive manufacturing partner in the future. Number two, M&A outlook. As per the strategic focus, we continue to evaluate precision manufacturing companies in India and the US that can deepen our technical bench, expand capacity, and open new customer channels. We remain disciplined, prioritizing cultural fit, sustainable margins, synergies, and fair valuation. We will only proceed when a target clearly meets our return thresholds and strategic criteria. As part of next steps, we will promptly brief the market once we have concrete definitive agreements. That concludes my update. Operator, please open the line for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Akshay from AK Investment. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. And my first question is, do our all revenue comes from the order book, or there is some direct order, like immediate orders, as well as are there any relation between the revenue and order book, if you can help over there?
Hi, Akshay. So when you that order book something is which holds good for a 3 to 4 months of revenues that we generate. So our order book, as Anil sir mentioned in the opening remarks also, is something that we keep on getting customer inquiries that is on a daily and a weekly basis, and basis which the order book keeps evolving and adding up. So last year, if you have seen the in the last quarter, as on 31st December, when you have seen the order book was over 100 crores, and in this quarter it is closer on 93 crores, what has happened is due to our better execution, we have been able to materialize better revenues, and hence our order book is also somewhat lower. But basis the demands and inquiries that we keep receiving from our existing customers and the new ones, we keep on adding the order book. So this will something which will be holding close to around 100 crores whenever we report, until there is a very significant push or a significant order coming across.
Okay, sir. And secondly, sir, in the opening remarks, you have said that we will have some impact on first two quarters because of the tariffs and all. And once we have the clarity about that, we will get new orders. But in last conference call, you said...
Akshay, we are not able to hear you clearly.
The line for the management must have been disconnected. The next question is from the line of Arvind Anant Narayanan from ValueQuest Investment Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
At the outset, can you hear me, please?
Yes, we can.
Wonderful. So congratulations on a good set of results. Just wanted to confirm, what is our outlook as far as M&A is concerned? Are there any candidates that are identified? And considering the tariffs in the U.S. environment, are we looking for any acquisitions in the U.S.? And what could be the timelines in which any such acquisitions could be done? Thank you.
Yeah. So on the M&A front there... Hello?
Yes, please. I can hear you. Please proceed.
On the M&A front, we are working extensively. Operator, there's a disconnect on the line, so there's a static noise. Is there only my issue or?
No, I'm not able to hear you very clearly either.
Okay.
Sir, I guess there's an issue from your end. Mr. Arvind, there's an issue on your end.
I don't know whether there is an issue at my end, but is it better now?
Sure. It's better now.
Hello.
Yes.
In any which way, if the line again echoes, I'll request on the other side if you can mute, please.
Yes, I'll do that so that you can just... This is the only question I had, essentially. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So on the M&A front, there has been extensive efforts that we have already doing. So we have been exploring opportunities both domestically and internationally, U.S. being one of the most preferred territory, as it will open us to avenues which the opportunities which do not come to India. So U.S. is what we are extensively working towards. As mentioned in the opening remarks by Mr. Rajnikant, we are looking for a strategic fit which will not have an impact on our existing margins. Also, the opportunity should be something that should fit to the amount that we have allocated towards. So these are certain areas that we are very extensively working towards. However, we want to close this as quickly as possible. You will definitely see some results in a quarter or two from now.
Understood. Understood. And just as an aside, we are looking into other areas, but there is a substantial demand in the aerospace side. So are we also looking to bolster over there, or are we consciously de-emphasizing that in favor of other areas?
So we are open to acquisitions. It's not we are specifically targeted to acquire something which is there in aerospace. Yes, if there can be a extension of what we do, we'll be happy to look into. But on the other side, there are enough number of opportunities. Speaking specifically of US, there are enough opportunities to get into defense, energy, oil and gas. So those are also other sectors that we are extensively eyeing towards.
Understood. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Harshit Patel from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. Sir, firstly, on the bookkeeping part, last time you had mentioned the share of revenues from the top four, top five customers for the 9-month FY25. So if you could give that data for the full year FY25, that will be very useful.
one question.
This customer wise details we are publishing in the annual account as form part of the notes to account. Customer wise of more than 10% each customer is contributing, those details is form part of the annual notes to the annual account.
Okay.
Harshit, yes, there will not be a very invariable change what we would have mentioned in the last quarter. Those are on the similar lines. The customer concentration will not have moved too much, is what I can indicate.
Understood. Sure. Secondly, as you have explained, we have expanded our capacities for both tooling as well as precision components very substantially. So what kind of further expansion we are planning? So your guidance for CAPEX for the next couple of years?
Just to tell you, yes, the expansion has been a very rapid one. Last year, December 31st, we were sitting at around 470,000 machine hours. We have ramped it up to 6.22. Now, we are also adding new facility spaces, further orders that we expect. One order that Mr. Anil would have mentioned on the call was the engine stands that we are eyeing towards. That gives a good opportunity to us. So to handle orders like these, we are also expanding into further units. So these units will again enhance our floor capacity to somewhere close to over the machine hour capacity close to around 8 lakh hours, taking our floor capacity to somewhere around over 3 lakh square foot. Saying this, opportunities are there in the segment. There are enough number of opportunities also coming on the nuclear and the precision segment. So the capacity addition in terms of machinery, around 60% has 60 to 70% has happened during March 31st 2025. However, some bit of portion is also spilled over to FY 25-26. You will see some bit of expansion. However, all these capacity additions that we are doing will hold good for next 3 years that we have. There will be certain capacity addition in FY 25-26, which will hold good for until FY 29. The idea will be to enhance the utilization levels from here on. Currently sitting at around 55-58%. Idea will be to take it to optimal level of around close to around 85-90% in next 3 years.
Understood. Sure. Just lastly, on the tax rate front, the tax rate for the full year FY25 was only 18%. I believe that it would be on account of tax benefits at our Innomac SEZ facility. So what would be our blended tax rate for the next 3 to 4 years?
So, as you know, the next 5 years, now this financial year, you know, 18% MAT, and the next year onwards, if MAT will continue, but the 50% of the, you know, the profitable, the profits, book profits, and other remaining 50%, the normal corporate tax rate would be applicable for the next 10 years. So it means 50% tax bracket now we will come to from there. And maybe my guess is more, you know, kind of going forward, you know, the MAT provision could be maybe 21% kind of MAT provision we will make. As of now, 18% we made.
Understood. Perfect. Thank you very much for answering my questions and all the very best.
Thank you, Ashitya.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Kamlesh Jain from Lotus Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. And congratulations of adding a lot of new OEMs during the FY25. So going forward, like the precision components is roughly around 15% as of now, and we had articulated that it would move up to 30-odd% over next 2-odd years. So my question was in regard to the margin trajectory. So the margins which used to be 40-odd% would now that go to like say 35-odd% levels on a structural or steady state basis?
Amnish, yes, you are somewhat right. So the compression will be there as we are entering into the precision segment. But the idea is also to have a longer-term arrangement when we foray into a segment called precision or the nuclear. That segment will also give us additional advantages because India is progressively eyeing towards getting a higher share of developing energy reactors. So that will give us a larger order book, larger revenue to come across. Eventually, I believe once the company grows, margin compression will be there, but it will still be much better. It will not be as high what we have delivered in last financial year, but it will not be below the 35% benchmark EBITDA margin is what we are never targeting below that.
Okay. And lastly, in the last quarter, we had alluded that there was some delay in licensing or renewal of licensing. So all that thing is done now, and could you please share the order book in both aero tooling and the precision components?
See, the issue that was there last quarter has been all sorted out in terms of the licenses. We had already mentioned in the previous quarter call itself that that was once in a decadal issue, and it was overlooked to an extent and will not happen. So that was something we are very confident of. On the other side, yes, opportunities are there in the precision segment. To give you an order book on that side, we are eyeing towards the tenders which are open. Once there has been an application towards the tenders, we will be able to give you a quantitative number towards it. On the overall book, we can guide for the orders that we have in hand is close to around 93 crores that we've also mentioned in our presentation. We'll continue to stick to that as of now. But in case of any further development that comes through, we'll be happily communicating to the street.
And lastly, 10% revenue growth, and given the fact that there is an immense potential in the aero tooling and all those businesses, 10% revenue growth and the capacity buildup which we have done over the last 1 year. So it looks relatively disappointing that even in last quarter we had degrowth significantly, and we haven't been able to capture that lost opportunity in the last quarter. So, and eyeing a 40-odd% revenue growth for the next year. So how confident are we? Because there are trade dispute issues, and even the order book, that's not also that much increasing, like say 90-100-odd crore order book.
See, what I mentioned, order book is something that holds true for next 3 to 4 months. Obviously, for the first two quarters until the negotiation on the tariff crystallizes, there will be some slowness, and this is what we are guiding for next quarter one and mid of quarter two. There will be some slowness in the tooling segment, but this will not hold for the entire year. The management is getting inquiries. There is enough number of demand with our existing customers, also with the new ones that we are want to do business with. So the idea is, because of the growth in the tooling segment, 40% of the business in revenue growth is very much achievable. We are eyeing a 30 to 35% of revenue growth in the aero tooling segment. That is also possible because of the talks that we are having with our existing and the new clients. So basis that we are able to tell you, 35% growth in the tooling segment is quite achievable. And on the overall, 40% growth will be achievable because of the other precision and the nuclear segment that we are entering in.
Thanks a lot and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Bala Subramanian from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Congratulations for a good set of numbers. My first question regarding the tariff side, I think we have 80% revenue exposure from US. And this, right now the tariff rate is around 10%. like the tariffs are completely borne by the customers, or is there any sharing basis, 5% to the customers or 5% is ours? How this tariff arrangement works, and how we look at next few quarters?
So, on the tariff side, see, as of now, you know, it's difficult to estimate, you know, the impact. Probably, the kind of indication what you mentioned, like, you know, some percentage customer might ask us to bear some, you know, or they may bear, you know, all those permutations, probability is there. But see, what we see, like, you know, while, you know, 80% of our export is, you know, to US, but our customers always, you know, indicate as we as you know, we are a green channel partner. There is always possibility of, you know, state, you know, drop shipment, you know, to end customer, bill to US and, you know, drop to, you know, the destination, different destinations, you know, other than out of US also. So if customer emphasize on that, you know, the impact of tariff, you know, due to by adopting, you know, the drop shipment strategy, you know, the impact would come down. As of now, we haven't assessed, you know, how the impact is going to be. But yeah, we'll wait for the final the Trump decision. Yeah, maybe my other co-founder would like to add something.
Hi. So firstly, on the tooling side, among our top customers, 80% of the tooling that has been manufactured are being consumed outside US. Even though it's been built 80% to US, 80% of the manufactured goods go outside US. So we are working with a customer on an arrangement to ship directly to those locations instead of sending it to US. So there is a tariff thing for a 20% that it's going to basically do. And, you know, it's harder to speculate on where the tariff would land. It's anybody's guess. So we are still looking at where that will land and how we'll work on that 20% part. But the good part is that we are shielded from that perspective in terms of, you know, the product being shipped outside US for 80% of tooling.
Got it, sir. So basically, currently, we only are taking care of these tariffs, right, sir? Not the customer.
Sorry, could you repeat that question, please?
Currently, this 20% is a part of exports. The remaining 80% is shipped to different locations. This 20% of our tariffs, we are taking care of it, right, sir? From outside.
For the 20%, it's been shared between, the tariff hit has been shared between Unimec and our customer.
Okay, got it, sir. And sir, actually, one of our competitor talked about around 700 to 800 crores of inflows for nuclear reactors and refurbishment and all. So, like, especially we also supplying around multiple subsystems. I just want to understand what kind of product for nuclear reactors we are focusing on. And you mentioned about around 400 to 500 crores of order inflows. Like, how do we look at in this phase of our opportunity side? I think how many quarters it will take to finalize those orders?
Okay. I think we're not able to hear you completely, but I think if we guess correctly the words, you're asking us how many quarters does it take to kind of metallize the unit?
What are the different commodities that we are doing for nuclear industry subsystems?
See, there are various core subsystems actually, so I would not be naming anything here in the call, but there are at least about 10 to 15 subsystems that we are working on, getting qualified, and we are confident that, okay, we would be giving a tough competition to our competitors also on this segment, on these kind of subsystems. Okay, so we are waiting for most of the tenders to open, and I think in next one or two quarters we'll hear a lot of positive details about these tenders.
Got it. And we're also doing for refurbishment site also, right, sir?
Yes, PMCPR.
Okay, sir. Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. That's all.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Sunny Bhatia from AM Investments. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Congratulations on a great set of numbers. In remarks, sir is mentioning about some order book opportunities, which I actually failed to sort of hear to. Could you reiterate that for me, please?
Yeah. So the order book opportunity on the nuclear side that we have mentioned is there are enough number of reactors, say for BSR, Bharat small reactors and small and modular reactors that are coming across. That is one opportunity. In terms of repair and replacement, there are around 5 nuclear reactors for which the tenders will open shortly, and we will be in the process of applying that. That is another segment. On the overall side, Government of India, through its budget, has communicated that there is close to around 7,800 megawatt of energy production capacity that will be generated, basis which enough number of repairs and replacement also will come across in the industry. So we will be also targeting towards building parts and replacing parts for or the subcomponents for these reactors in place. That is one on the tooling segment. In the precision, that is one on the nuclear side. On the precision segment also, we are exploring opportunities currently, targeting OEMs to build our order book. So once we are able to get them across and get a good order book generated from them, you will see a better or a more robust order book from our side. Additionally, what Mr. Anil also mentioned in his opening remarks was, there is a new product segment coming as an engine stand that we are eyeing towards. That will also give us a good long-term arrangement on the order book. So these are 5-6 segments and coming that will add on to our order book, coming from OEMs, coming from our nuclear facilities and nuclear power projects domestically.
Okay. So secondly, with so many products coming in and us exploring the nuclear side as well, do you see our a segment shift in terms of the contribution that comes from every segment? Do you see that mix changing in the near future?
So it will not change very drastically. The tooling segment will continue to hold the lion's share. It is in next 3 to 4 years, you will see a significant ramp up from the nuclear and the precision segment. The idea is to get to a 60-40 mix in next 4 years down the line that you will see in our order, in our revenue mix.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much, sir. That would be from my side. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much. The next question is from the line of Rajmohan V, from an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Hope I'm audible.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. My first question is on the machine capacity, which has increased significantly to about 633,000 hours over nearly 3 times last year in capacity, and is further planning to increase it to 8 lakh hours. Now, though you have indicated to 35-40% growth in FY26, what kind of capacity utilization would we be seeing in FY26 from the current around 50s? And then also, could you give some idea about what kind of capacity utilization will happen in FY27?
See, the progression will be a bit linear. So what I can say currently, we are at around close around 55-58. Next year, the target is to achieve somewhere close to 70. 70-75, maybe reaching around 80 also on a very optimistic side. But just to give you a point here, capacity utilization will only start improving as and when we qualify and have more products in line. Currently, the idea that we are currently doing is there is most of the first articles and development orders that we are generating and building towards. So this will have some pressure on the utilization levels also, as these will be very small orders. So next year, what you can assume are 75-80%. Beyond that, by FY28, you can clearly see a roadmap towards the 85% to level to 90%. But you can fairly assume it could be an 85% to 90% by close to around FY28 and FY29 distributed. That can be arranged.
Okay. So based on further extending into this and trying to understand it a bit deeper, as your mix sort of enhances with you being eligible for a higher wallet share inside your customer, will this 85% capacity utilization in 28 mathematically lead to a proportionate increase in revenue, or would the revenue increase be more than proportionate?
So the 80% increase in the utilization levels will obviously give an better revenue growth. The idea that you have already been hearing from us is the 40% target for next financial year. So as and when we increase capacity, obviously our wallet sizes and the order delivery capacity also enhances. So hence, you will see a better number.
Another thing to remember is we are an end-to-end manufacturer. So machining is an aspect of what we do, whereas in addition to machining, we have assembly, we have welding, we have other services that is there in play. And, you know, the proxy has always been using machine hours as a proxy. So there is all these that actually come into play, adding in revenue margins.
Okay. So, fine. One question on margins. You indicated to 32% margins in this fiscal. Where do you see it heading in FY27 and beyond? Because based on the mix we are targeting, will it remain around that 32%, or it has the potential to head higher with operating leverage kicking in from FY27?
Yeah. So rightly said, the operating leverage will come from FY27. Margins will not be as low as what we are thinking of this year, because it's not from the point of production or manufacturing capacity. It is mostly from the point of the additional cost that we will have in FY26 P&L. In next financial year, though we are not guiding for a very long-term number right away, what you will be seeing in FY26 end.
Fine. So operating leverage will kick in. So my final question is, you have indicated to 35 to 40% growth in FY26. Based on the total capacity that you are currently envisaging of 8 lakh cars, this 35 to 40% growth is what will sustain over the next 3 years, or FY27 could see a bigger leap because several things will fall in place and come into play?
See, the target is to keep growing at a 40%. While we were out there during our IPO roadshows also, we would have thought of delivering a 40% growth for next 4 years. So that will continue to hold. We have an ambition of achieving 1,000 crore sales by end of FY29, and we'll continue to work towards that. In between, but every financial year, we'll continue to guide what the next financial year looks like. There are enough number of geopolitical issues also that might come into play, and basis which we'll have to moderate or enhance our guidances for the next financial year.
Fine. Thank you very much, and best wishes to such a young team who have embarked on quite a esoteric kind of path. Best wishes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Sonia Lalwani from ValueQuest. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. Couple of questions from my end. In the last con call, we had discussed that there was an order from the nuclear end, which we were not able to deliver. Did we deliver that order this year? In this quarter, or is it still standing in our order book?
It's still standing in our order book. I think we are going to ship a lot of these subsystems by Q1, Q2. And I think, as we mentioned in the last quarter, the delivery delay happened not because of the execution issue, it was purely because of the standard part quality issue that we had, that we bought it from one of the approved vendors from the OEM. So, you know, with that kind of, you know, the bought out issue had a kind of cascading effect on our final assembly and testing. Since we have the test station, we have only one test station which can able to test certain number of assemblies per month. The kind of the delivery schedules have shifted to right. Okay, so now all these technical glitches were, you know, solved, and we are confident we are going to ship it in first and second quarter.
Understood. The second question was on the aero tooling versus the precision manufacturing. Could you give us the breakup of these segments for FY25?
So aero tooling is close to around 85% of the revenues, and the balance is coming from the precision and nuclear.
And this is for FY25 and not just for quarter four?
It would be on the similar range.
Understood. The last question that I had was in terms of employee benefits. We have been seeing an increase given the hiring that has been done by the organization. At the employee cost has been around 11 to 13 crores. But this quarter we see a dip in the number. Can you explain what has led to that?
Okay. So it is the primary reason is, like, you know, the, all the quarters, like, you know, whenever closing happens, like, you know, on a conservative, you know, required a kind of maybe variable bonus or any other kind of benefits, you know, we factored at a fullest level, considering all employees, so, you know, factoring no resignation, all those stuff, you know, so we taken enough provisions in every time, you know, and however, March quarter is a time where need to be, you know, certainty actual and employees, you know, based on actual performance and employees who are completed number of, so whatever, you know, based on those kind of HR stuff, you know, the provision has been finalized. So any kind of, you know, differentials has been, you know, reversed. So you see some kind of positive impact, you know, in the employee benefit, but it is not that, you know, there is a headcount drop or anything. It's like, you know, so, the provisional, you know, kind of, you know, finalized provisions and anything of, you know, excess kind of thing, you know, so need to be neutralized. So that's the kind of, you know, event that happened in Q4.
Understood. Thank you, Ramsen. That's it from my side.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Vaibhav Jain, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a great set of numbers and hitting it out of the park in terms of execution. Just continuing on the nuclear segment, I wanted to understand, you know, what are the terms of trade there? Like, what kind of a cash conversion cycle we're looking there, and, you know, what is our vision for that business?
Fine. So, the nuclear segment, which we started in 2020, started with, you know, one subsystem, which successfully now we win the order and, you know, continuing the delivery. So our vision is to participate in you know, the major reactor programs that are coming up, you know, whether it is a replacement program like EMCCR or the new projects, you know, which is the 11 reactors. Our first reactor is already tendered out and, you know, wanted to participate in that. And we wanted to, you know, well known for the, you know, electromechanical subsystems related to nuclear subsystems, you know, so we wanted to accredite as many subsystems in nuclear as possible and continue to participate actively in the upcoming nuclear projects. So when it comes to guiding for any kind of tender that comes up and, you know, the materialization of cash or revenue or cash. So if you look at now the current tenders like EMCCR is happening, it is expected that, you know, in a 4 months time, you know, or 3 months time, you know, complete PO will be in hand, you know, for win the order. And it is such transactions, such tenders, you know, would take, you know,
15 months kind of time now in terms of delivery. It means by the when we win the order, we will have a delivery time of 15 to maybe plus or minus 3 months, 18 months and will be there.
Right. And so the terms of trade, as in what are the milestones for revenue recognition and when will the payment, starting on the,
So now, while referring again, the recent tenders, so that I can give better information. So the EMCs are, if we take into consideration, which is replacement parts, would have more quantums, quantities, These quantities can be filled in a bunches. It means as and when it is not that it has to deliver after 15 months. It can be filled in a milestone basis, like some kind of quantity quantums, delivered at appropriate times. So it means from there 75 days would be there, for the cash realization.
Okay, 75 days. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
And sir, just curious, so we've added some long-term debt, this year. Even though we've raised the funds from IPO and a lot of balance of our cash and investment is sitting on our books, we still raised a little amount of long-term. So just wanted to understand the logic behind that.
Yeah, our plan, the long-term loan we raised in the last year, it is expected to be repaid in the coming months, which is anyway mentioned in the IPO objectives. So the cash which is sitting, some amount is to repay for the loan. The remaining cash is, earmarked for the two objects. One is for M&A, which is predominant portion is there, which we raised in a pre-IPO time. And another balance amount, is the balance in IPO fundraise. Post debt repayment, we will have a larger amount, for the working capital and some CapEx portion.
Okay. So, sir, again, coming back to the nuclear segment, if I've understood correctly, the replacement cycle is 15 months for our products that we supply.
Yes. So, the tender delivery time, indicatively, 15 months, 18 months time, indicatively. Yeah. It depends on the product type also, but I'm just referring one product case which we have now right now tendering out, participating tender, 15 to 18 months delivery time.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. That's all from me.
Thank you.
And all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. In order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to one per participant. The next question is from the line of Rahul Rajani from Maheshwari Investors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Sir, there's some noise from your end.
I had just
so your line is not clear.
Hello. Yeah.
Yes. Go ahead.
Hello.
Mr. Rahul, are
Hello.
You there? Yes, sir.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for the opportunity. I had just one question on the acquisition of this, which we have is the value of the acquisition, and are we planning to acquire it like a complete stake with them? Hello.
Yes, sir. Could you repeat it? You're not being clear, sir.
Yeah. What was the value of the acquisition? What is the valuation of the acquisition that we have done on Daiya Engineering? And is there a plan to, when is the plan to acquire the balance 14% stake? And is there a plan to acquire the complete stake in the company?
Okay, so your question is on Daiya, and your question is what is the valuation of Daiya, and when is the plan to acquire the remaining 14%? Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, we have signed up for the acquisition of 30% stake, as I mentioned. No, the remaining 40% will kick in when the first part, you know, approval complete, you know, the first engine, you know, the approval stage, it comes, the prototype engine complete, you know, approval completes. So my fair estimation is like, you know, in a 4 months time to 6 months time, you know, their approval process will complete, and then, you know, the remaining 14% they will ask us to pay. So the overall valuation what we got was that time was 35 crores. So it means equal to, you know, kind of 10 crores that we need to participate, wherein already 5 crores we have, whatever, 5.5 crores completely we completed, and balance 4.5 crores would be there.
Got it. Thank you. And is there a plan to acquire the balance 70% stake eventually?
No, too early. Well, you know, not sure, because there are other investors, you know, so we are not sure, you know, how it goes. But our interest mainly, you know, to support on the manufacturing side, because the complete engine, you know, is built up, you know, in the Unimec facility, and we are the completely exclusive manufacturing partner for them. So that we are more interested in, you know, manufacturing deal than, you know, yeah, having a substantial, yeah, which is not a bad idea, but not sure how it goes.
Got it. Thank you. Thanks a lot for the opportunity and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Akshay from AK Investment. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the follow-up. Because of some technical issue, my line was disconnected. So my only question is that what our revenue expectation is from the AI engineering in FY26?
Oh, we haven't factored any revenue from the AI engineering, because it is in a prototype and it is not appropriate to factor any revenue in this financial year.
Okay, all right, sir. Thank you. All other my questions I have been answered. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Care from Niveshai. Please go ahead.
Congratulations for a good set of numbers, sir. I have two questions. And you can answer at your convenience. First is from the aerospace and tooling segments. So I just wanted to understand that in the tolerance consideration in the aerospace, what is the average life for the tooling and tooling that we provide to the OEM licensees?
Are you, your question is the contribution of revenue from the OEM?
No. I'm repeating my questions. So the tolerance is very high in the aerospace industry. Okay. And we are providing the tooling for that. So what is the average lifespan of our tooling segment to OEM licensees?
Lifespan. Okay. Now, if you take any engine tooling side, you know, approximately say 1,200 varieties, you know, would be there. No. So each tool has a different life cycle, you know, defined. We particularly don't know, but however, you know, my average indicator thing is like, you know, replacement would maybe between 2 to 5 years kind of thing would be there. Depending on the size of the tool, you know, some are as low as 2 years, or sometime, you know, 5 years, yeah. Anything else? I think, yeah, depend on application and, you know.
Okay. And if you allow, I have a second question. In defense side, as the traction in defense side is increasing, are we supplying any precision component in the segments, or we have seen any increase in the last quarter?
I'm sorry, sir. Okay. Can you repeat? No, your voice is again broken.
Okay. So I'm asking, in the precision component side, we have mentioned that defense is in the industry and the customers also. So are we supplying any parts or sub-assemblies or component in a defense segment right now?
Defense, we have smaller portion, you know. Any Rajan, you want to add?
We are working with a few of the companies on the defense thing. Though aerospace is actually the largest revenue contribution, but we see this as a growing market.
Okay. Thank you. Best of luck for the future.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Shashank Jain from ValueQuest. Please go ahead.
Hi. So actually, first question is on the cash utilization. So we are sitting with a cash of around 490 crores. And to basically go back to your previous participant, you mentioned that 60%-70% of the CapEx has been incurred. So how much are we looking to incur in the form of CapEx this year, and how much will be incurred in the form of working capital, and how soon are we looking to utilize the cash?
Okay. So the plan for this year is to invest in CapEx in the range of 75-80 crores. Investment will happen in the machineries and other stuff. Working capital, overall, 60 crore we planned, wherein 35 crore we'll invest this year, and some amount will be kept for the next year. 30 crore for the next financial year we'll keep. 80 plus 60 is the plan.
Okay. And just really key for the M&A opportunities. And the second question is on the margins. So although we are guiding for 32% and probably 32%-35% margins, but we are currently tagging at 40% margins. So in the long term, over the next three, four, five years basis, are we expecting only 35% margins, or are we expecting to reach 40% margins sometime in the future?
40% margins is what we have delivered this year for FY25. FY26, because of the cost that we are incurring, we will have some compression. So that is the reason why we are guiding for 30%-32%. Next year, when the operating leverage starts kicking in, margins will be around 35%. We are putting a conservative number as of now that we can easily target a 35%. If the future benefit also flows in, we will be able to target higher. But to be on a reasonable side, we are committing a 35% longer term.
Okay. And the last query is on if you can provide a split between FAI and production in terms of revenue. Is that data available?
We can give that to you offline.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Vaibhav Shah from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. My question is on the precision component side. So we have added seven new customers during FY25. So could you share some color on the nature of these customers, particularly their end-user industry and their position in the overall value chain? Additionally, what type of precision component are we expected to manufacture for them? For instance, we supply electromechanical subassemblies in the nuclear segment for NPCIL.
Okay. So if I understood your question right, you were asking about the nature of components that we are going to manufacture for the precision segment as well as nuclear segment, right?
For the precision segment, that seven new customers that we have added into FY25.
Yes. So all these components what we have onboarded the new customer are related to aerospace only, and some are defense sector. These are all the precision component and fewer assemblies also there. And our plan for the precision component assembly segment is to do beyond aero also, aero defense, and also participate in nuclear, sorry, the energy segment, and semiconductor, of course, semiconductor. So in the semiconductor, also the customer whom we have onboarded recently, the nature of product would be a component would be this is going to be used by the supplied for the OEMs in building the semiconductor equipment. So it means for the build equipment, whatever the subsystem required or assembly required in a mechanical assembly, that we will be supplying to these companies.
So as a pattern, unlike tooling where it's used as an auxiliary device to build something else, in the precision component section, these components actually go into the actual thing, whether it's an airplane, defense component, semiconductor, machine manufacturing. It basically goes into that.
Understood, sir. Sir, second question is on the.
Sir, sorry to interrupt, but due to time constraint, that was the last question. Thank you very much. I now hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Hi, thank you. Hope you were able to answer all your questions. Once again, I would like to assure you all, we all strive for achieving the guidance, also build a much bigger order book by end of this year, reducing customer concentration risk and strengthening the business resilience. The tailwinds in the industry, both in tooling and precision industry, will work in our favor in achieving the desired growth. Geopolitical issues might have some near-term impact, but overall, Unimech is very confident on delivering the results. Thank you all.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Anand Rathi Share and Stock Brokers Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.